Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 86. Lord, it's so hard to be humble. Today is Friday, February 20th, 2009. Thank you for joining me, White Rabbit, Jefferson Airplane, The Age of Aquarius, Flower Power. We had to go there today. We had to go there with Pastor Paul's message, Lord, it's so hard to be humble. You'll get the song once you hear the message. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday, between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Now, do not be shy. We have a lot of food. We have more food than we know what to do with. And we call ourselves the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota because we don't have boundaries. So it doesn't matter where you live in Minnesota. And like I've said before, it's worth the trip. If you're living in central Minnesota, southern Minnesota, northern Minnesota, it's worth the trip because we have a lot of food. And where do we get our food? From lots of sources all over the United States. We've been blessed with a lot of food, so be sure to come in and register your household for monthly groceries. And also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also make a tax-deductible donation to support people in Minnesota. So be sure to do that. We do need your support. Send us a check. You can also make a credit card donation at the top of our homepage. And then also up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, our store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to go there. Right now, our Our website is in the skeletal stage. Well, let's just say we have one page other than the interactive links. So be sure to use those interactive links to check out some historic pictures of Pastor Paul's. And also you can go to Pastor Paul's blog where I'm going to have the show notes. So you'll be able to go and link to all the different links that I have there. And I have special links. Like this week I have a special link to Curiosity. And the reason is because Pastor Paul talks about the pride of curiosity. And I'm not going to go into that, but you'll hear what he talks about. And I kind of tied in the pride of curiosity with You Are Old, Father William, which is a poem by Lewis Carroll. And I have that entire poem at the top of the show notes, so be sure to check it out. It's really good. You're going to love that. And it's just a fun poem. But it talks, in his message, he talks about the pride of curiosity. And when I found that poem, it just fits so well. And that's why the music by Jefferson Airplane, White Rabbit, is that perfect? Wait till you hear the message. I mean, it really does go together. Besides that, I love Grace Slick's voice. Now, it would be hard to be humble if you sang like Grace Slick. So there you go. Other links I have are scripture links. Acts 20:19 is a scripture link. That was the only scripture link. Now, he quotes a lot of different scriptures, but he doesn't give us the links. So some of you out there are probably more familiar with these scriptures. I am familiar with the scriptures, but I do not know what exactly where they're from. But I've heard them many times, so maybe some of you, not that you're prideful, of course, about knowing everything, but maybe you have some of those scripture links. Give me a call. You can call me on the comment line at 1-715-808-0318, and you can leave me some of those scripture links that Pastor Paul talks about, but he doesn't give us those scripture links in the message. Again, 1-715-808-0318. You can also leave a comment. You can ask a question, although keep it simple for me. You can make a suggestion. For instance, you can say, Janine, your intro is way too long. Shorten it up. We just want to hear Pastor Paul's message. Or you can give a testimony. Now, testimony is something that everybody will want to hear. So that's something to think about. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org, and I will have to make a confession. I'm not the fastest on email, so if I don't answer your email within a month, I may not have seen it. No, that's not true. You can also join us next Friday for episode 87. The name of that message is, I Am Adopted. And I have bonus links to Alice in Wonderland, Chasing Rabbits, Advice from a Caterpillar, and a Victorian poem, How Doth the Little Bee. Hope you get a lot out of Pastor Paul's message, which I know you will. You'll find out how it's not that hard to be humble. God bless you and have a great week.
And today's message is entitled, Lord, It's So Hard to Be Humble. Now they're even arguing over who has more faith. Well, our particular church has more faith, or we have more faith over here, or we have more faith over here. And it's kind of like the disciples, when they were walking along, they said, well, who's the greatest? And they put that question out. So today let's look at something we know very little of. Acts 20 and 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Oh, if you ever want to be humble, you better be humble when you get up behind the pulpit. You never know what's going to happen once that you step into the arena and you give yourself over to the Lord. Never know. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And I thought, well, I was getting ready for this. How can anyone safely speak about his own humility? I mean, immediately it puts us on the defense. Who, me, not humble? Just let me share a little bit of my humble life with you. Then you won't say that, you knucklehead. Because humble men are mostly conscious of great pride, while those who are boastful and boastful of humility have nothing but false pretense and really lack and really want it. And so can anyone judge their own pride or their own humility? See, pride can act lowly to get its own way. Could you help little old me? Poor little old me? But if poor little old me doesn't get helped, look out. Ooh, I just need your help for a minute. I know nothing about this. I'm so humble in this. So, I mean, how can you tell a counterfeit from the real? We must be led by the Holy Spirit, and He will lead us into every truth. Boy, I tell you, when He starts leading you into every truth, you find out just how humble or how prideful that you really are. And He will teach us true humility. How to take last place. Last place means sometimes running behind the other runners. They break the wind for you. It's not all bad. It's like Jesus emptying himself of all glory because he came to save souls. That's true humility. To give all that you had, and he had it all. All, he gave it all, and he had it all, and then he lost it all. That's true humility. So number one, let's look at comprehensive humility, serving the Lord with all humility. And number two, I shall speak upon the trials to which our humility will be subjected. Number three, upon the arguments by which we ought to support it, to generate it, to, let's say, sustain it in our souls. And fourthly, I shall show forth some practical effects of humility. Now, a lot of times people don't like that word practical. It might mean that they have to do something. Well, don't be too practical. Or I should say, urge you to show them forth with me in our daily lives. I think we ought to take account of ourselves in our daily lives. And so first then, the comprehensiveness of humility. Notice it says, serving the Lord with all humility. Boy, are there a lot of faces on pride. And as we go over the list, you will be able, by looking at the contrast, to see then that there are almost, I believe, as many kinds of humility. There is the pride of the heretic who will speak false doctrines because his judgments are better than God's. And even if you show them in the Word of God, the heretic will come up with another book. Sort of like the Book of Mormons or even in our churches, denominational churches, they'll change the Word of God. Because, see, we know more now than God knows. Our judgments, we think, are better than God's. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it doesn't line up. Whew. If it says forgive, then that's what we must preach. Forgive. Ooh, see, and this type of person is never content to sit like a child and believe what he is told. He argues. And he argues the questions before you even get a full sentence out. They don't come as little children. They come with a fear of being found out, and they're prideful, and they start firing questions to cover up. And this type of person will never receive anything beyond his own reach. He doesn't understand it right away, or he doesn't want nothing to do with it. Paul said, I count all I know as dung, and also God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have the pride of the papist, who attaches then merit to his own works and hopes to win heaven as a reward of his own doing by a ritual, by a swinging of a smoking lantern, a smoke screen, or many candles that are lit. Doesn't mean a thing. But Paul, I believe, was full of this. Yet not I, but Christ. He counted his righteousness as filthy rags. Next, I was looking at the pride of the curious. You ever been around a curious person? Man, they got question upon question. They're almost, I tell you, drive you crazy with their questions. I come to the conclusion a long time ago, if someone asked me a question and I felt the wrong spirit on it, I wouldn't answer. I would just say, I don't know. You know why? Because I found myself several years ago, whenever an argument came up or someone asked me a question that had a ring of an evil questioning to it, I wouldn't answer it because it would lead to another argument and another argument and another argument and another argument. And God says, don't get into vain discussions. It's like in the middle of a whole lot of silliness, someone comes up with something out of the Bible. What do you think of this, or what do you think of that, or so on like that? And it's even out of context. And so God had shown me some years back, don't get into that. Don't get into trading this verse for that verse and so on. Like, just say you don't know and get out of it. Be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all, and don't enter in. How many are hearing that? The curious. It's the man that's not content with simplicities, but must pry into the mysteries. And if he could, he'd elevate himself to heaven and climb up into heaven and open up the seals. He has to know all the mysteries. What are you doing over there with the seals? Oh, I'm just taking a little peeky-boo, wondering what was going on. And so it's the type of person that's saying, I wonder if, and I wonder this, and what if, and so on. And he is not content with what the Spirit reveals in part, a little bit at a time. Be satisfied, glory to God, with what God gives you a little bit at a time. And the mystery unfolds a little bit at a time. You wouldn't understand otherwise. You can't skip from your little blanket in kindergarten, go right into algebra. You're just like a little kid wandering in with your blanket, your little dirty blanket, you know, and your thumb in your mouth, going into the University of Minnesota and walking into one of those classes on geometry or whatever. You're jumping the gun. You want to know all the mysteries, and you're not ready for all the mysteries yet. And so much nowadays, people are trying to jump ahead of God. Now, you can do all the reading you want to, and you can get in, go to Bible college, and you can make yourself a professor. But it won't have the Spirit on it. You won't have the understanding of what you read. It'll be letter. It'll kill. And so it has to be lived a step at a time to understand. Understanding comes by living. And by living comes the experience. And by experience cometh the knowledge. And from the knowledge cometh the wisdom. And all wisdom comes from God. And He in the end is your teacher. Hallelujah. So we go on today and we look at these different things. We must reveal all these things so that we can go on and start at point one. And don't jump way up to number 20 before you're ready for it. Are you hearing it? And so this person, I said, is not content with what the Spirit reveals a step at a time, but must go ahead and get into wives' fables. When I went over and this woman, and she was praying over me, and then another woman in the audience said that my mother was standing behind the chair, the spirit of my mother. Oh, I says, is that right? Well, that's just a great big old dirty demon from hell. That's not your mother. It's given once man to live and once to die. But see, you wanted to get into the mystery so bad, you started to make concoctions all your own. And anybody could have told you anything because you're so anxious to be spiritual. Endless genealogies and disputings, it says in the Bible, and evil questionings. Well, if God did this, why didn't He do that? And if He did this, well, why didn't He just, why don't He just take everybody to heaven? How do you answer some of these questions that people have? You don't. You do not answer them. You give them the Word of God. God's authority says this, and that's the end of it. There'll be a revealing at the right time. I'll let you know when I'm ready to reveal it. It's kind of like when you open your gifts. You want to open them up early. No, it's not time yet. Put it back under the tree or put it back into my room. Who told you to go in there anyway? And you want to peek inside, see what it is. You want to shake on it. But here we have Paul, and he was never curious to find out where the lines of truth met. Did you know that all the lines of truth will meet? You read the Bible and you have the experience of the Holy Spirit working with us. And sooner or later, that which you thought was a vast contradiction will meet. And you'll say, now I understand. Now you try to take this understanding that God has given you about these truths that meet and try to give it to somebody else. Forget it. They're not ready for it. Say amen, somebody. Not ready for it. Totally not ready for it. How many are hearing this? And so that which we thought that we wanted, we find out we don't want. When the lines of truth meet, we say, oh God, surely you are God. And you are all in all. And we have to just bow down before the Lord. And we have to allow ourselves to be humbled in that. And then we have the pride of the persecutor. The man who is not content with his own notions, but then would not hunt to death another. The pride of how dare you disagree with me, to the rack with you. Are you hearing this? And maybe that God has shown you some beautiful thing you want to share with somebody. You say, hey, well, I know this is probably contradicting the popular whatever that you're in, but how about letting God have His will in this matter? Or don't you think there is such a thing? Or do you fully know the will of God? Do you know the sovereignty of God at all, that He can change His mind whenever that He wishes? Jonah had a little bit of trouble with that, didn't he? Elijah had a little bit of trouble with that, didn't he? Samson had a little bit of trouble with that, didn't he? And David, and all of them. And we have a little bit of trouble with that too also, don't we? But God does have His own way, doesn't He? But how dare you disagree with me? I believe Paul had no call down fire on them attitudes whatsoever. He had charity which suffereth long, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and believeth all things. I believe he had humility of a man of a very generous spirit. And I think it's so great when we start to have a generous spirit. And we're generous with people. We're generous with people when they're not quite right on, you know what I mean? And they haven't grown to that point yet. We're generous with them. You know what I mean by a generous spirit? It's a spirit that's always giving of itself. It isn't looking to vaunt itself above anything and say, hey, let me help you out in this matter. Let me show you what God has shown me in this matter. I hope this will shed some light upon what you're talking about. Yes, I've been through that. But let me generously give to you. And then the pride of the impenitent man who will not yield to God, who says, hey, I'm free. Don't be telling me I'm bound up. I've always been a free agent. Well, that's your problem. You've always been a free agent, but where has it taken you? But I mean, they say, no one has ever had dominion over me. No bit, no bridle. How many know that's untrue? That is untrue. Someone comes up and says, hey, no bit, no bridle has ever been in my mouth. I have not been under dominion to Satan or anybody else. I'm a free agent. But Paul, on the other hand, was humble and teachable and even filled with sorrowfulness, with a sense of his own unworthiness. How many have felt that in their own lives that they were unworthy? Praise the Lord, I do all the time, but not enough. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And in all humility, Paul had many types of pride and humility, and they were mixed together in his preaching. Whenever you read from Paul, he's always saying this about himself or that about himself, and O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of this body of death? And so let's look then again at three kinds of humility. A proposed humility, or humility before the service of God. And then an opposed humility, or humility during the service of the Lord, which continues under trial. And then an imposed humility, when the soul, conscious of sin during the act, imposes upon itself the task of bending before God and offering repentance for that sin. And so then there is a humility before serving God. When a man lacks this, he proposes to himself his own honor and his own esteem in serving God. Now I'm serving God. And I've been serving God for 25 years. Well, don't look so happy about it. If a man was really serving God, he would be happy about it. Say amen. Now how easy it is for us preachers to preach a sermon which does not deal with the problems. Oh, don't cause a wave, preacher. You might offend somebody. And don't let the Spirit move, because you just can't trust the Holy Spirit. It might go out and tell somebody's whole story out there. And we get to looking to satisfying our audiences. Boy, isn't he eloquent? Isn't he great? Isn't he magnificent? Then we come off stage satisfied with ourselves, smacking our lips. Good show, good sermon. Mighty tasty, mighty tasty. Huh? We step down and we're satisfied that we have done a job because everybody's smiling. And sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to move and convict people. Now, you listening on the radio, I'm talking especially to you today, and that tape ministry, especially you today, because some of most of you have heard this type of preaching before, so you're used to it. You're hearing it? But still we need reminding, don't we? That we can step down and we're satisfied with ourselves. You know what'll happen? You'll trip and bump your head on a chair coming down like that. How many have done that? And you're all ready for something. That's like your musical group. It gets up, we're all ready, and they get up there, and oh man, we got it down, we got a sound, it's locked in, it's down, and it's heavy, and it's good. Ooh, wee, ooh, huh? And you get up there and you sing off pitch. Ooh! Whoa! And you have to say, whoa, hold it a minute. Back to the grace of God. Woo-hoo! Or the whole stage collapses. Kaboom! Or the tent comes down. Oh! Wasn't that humbling? All of our tents come down yesterday. We had these big fancy tents up, and oh, we had the streamers up and the balloons. We were going to put balloons out there for everybody, but that didn't have nothing to do with gospel, did it? The wind came up and blew all the balloons away. Oh! Well, he looked over and one tent just whoosh, boom. Sort of a wet blanket, right? Then another tent that just bang, you see, and then another one went boom there, see. They're all standing out there naked out there. Thanks a lot. This is Race for Life. We're trying to do you a favor, and look what you're doing, huh? All this work, and you have to have a wind come up. Hey, I recognize the hand of God. Tell you that. Is this the Lord humbling us a little bit? You wanted to have a big shoe, did you? And I said to myself, good enough for you, for us. And then the music came off so beautiful. Woo! When we got rid of all the tents, all the false coverings. The music came out like it was in an auditorium. The guy said, I don't believe this music is coming from the outside here. I says, well, I says, brother, the Holy Spirit's on. When the kids went out to run, the Holy Spirit was on it. Wasn't it? I tell you, without the Holy Ghost, there's nothing. Without the Spirit of the Lord, there's nothing. It's a skeleton of things. That's nothing. Unless God puts meat on its bones, it's nothing. Say amen, somebody. Unless God does something to the preacher, he's nothing. He's just bones standing up there. Them bones, they're going to walk around. They're going to make a lot of noise, and they're going to fall on down. And it's the same with all of our things, but oh, how God blessed it. Say amen when we got all the trimmings out of the way. Woo! Oh, preacher, don't look for people to see how eloquent you are. How great and how mighty and how wonderful an orator that you are. How you stand. Don't come off stage satisfied with yourself, but come off praising the Lord. This is the pride before service. Because if we come to preach or we come to play and we come humbly, we're going to be accepted. And if we don't come humbly, we will not be accepted. Whether we preach or whether we pray or give or whatsoever we do, it is needful that we bend low before we enter into our work. It is needful that we bend our knee and say, oh my God, I'm going to get up and I'm going to play before this audience. I'm going to preach before this audience. And there's a lot of things that aren't right in my life. And you know it and I know it. And I suppose a lot of other people know it. God, I'm bending low and I'm not going to be doing those things next week. I repent and I turn around, God. And then the anointing is on it, isn't it? Whoa. Oh, hallelujah, to have the anointing on it, to have the oil flow on it. Isn't that worth it? Isn't that worth leaving R-rated movies for? Or the soaps? I wish they'd use that soap and get their act cleaned up, don't you? But it's pride before service. Oh, that was so great yesterday. We have a pride before service. Oh, you never seen that when you have pride before service and we walk up. Oh, we're so serious and we put on that face. You know the face, pride before service? Huh? May you trip over your sword. Say amen, somebody. Woo! See, for if it is not self-seeking and self-glorifying, then a lot of times you won't get up and do it. And if it's at the bottom of that, if that self-seeking and self-glorifying lie at the bottom, then God won't accept us. And so many Christians have very little humility before service. They like to pick the position in the church will give them the most honor. We don't have a lot of positions down here that give a lot of honor. Praise God for it too. But if there be work which does not glorify them, then they'll leave that for somebody. Oh, I'll leave that. And they'll take a look. It's like shopping, see? Nope, this position. Nope, I'm greater than this. Nope, greater than these. And they wait for something to open up. They hold out until something comes up that meets their spiritual standing in God. But offer up an honorable position in the church and you will have long lines. Your form will be busy morning, noon, and night. But then offer up mowing the grass, yard work, dishes, painting, janitor work. And the dust clouds of escape will be like that of wild elephants running from fire. Did you ever see elephants running? Huh? Boy, can they kick up a dust. Aren't they ugly when they're running away? Huh? And they miss out. They lose out. Whoa, be faithful with the little things, and then I'll give you a little bigger thing. Don't elephant dance out of church, and I'll give you something bigger. See, because it's the glitter and the fun things and the boy, that's my bag things that are crowded. Isn't that right? When there's fun things to do, and ooh, we all want to join in that, don't we? Don't we? Steak dinner, free steak dinner up the Olympic Cafe. Look out. But I think in all of us, there is some tinge of choosing our position. Let's be honest about it. For the honor's sake rather than for God's sake. Isn't it? I don't care what I do. It's just the way the person says that. I know they do. Would you mind doing that? Hey, I don't care what I do. Do you think I care what I do? I don't care what I do. No, I don't care at all. Doesn't matter to me if I'm singing or if I'm rejoicing and doing this job or that job or cleaning the toilets. Doesn't matter to me a bit. Be sure talking a lot about it. Right? Don't we all have a little tinge of wanting to do something more? Oh, I don't want to do that. Right? But then other things, let me do that. I confess that. Now, I propose this, that Paul sewed tents all night long from midnight on because somebody held out his pay. Hey, that Paul was in the big bucks. Hey, goes to all them meetings all over. He's got money, I tell you. I used to go out and minister, evangelize. Sometimes I'd get all done and a brother would come up and say, you know, the Lord spoke to me. And this would be in a house the size of a downstairs or like a bowling alley. And by the way, the people sat there like pins too. And usually I would bowl them over also. No, but anyway, then I would go into this house and my brother would come up and say, you know, God has spoken to me to give you some money for your ministry so they can continue. Here's $10. I'm 120 miles away from home. My gas tank is on a quarter full. Oh, thank you. Oh, it's hard to be humble during those times. But you know I was, because the guy could have not given me nothing. You know what I mean? I told you this, but I got to say it again. I went up to the same area again, and I says, you know what? I'm going to preach to people. I'm not going to put you under bondage to giving anything because you're a bunch of tightwads. Don't give me anything. Several young teenagers come to the Lord. It was a beautiful night. They weren't all bound up with what they were going to give me. They weren't, you know, figuring out my mileage on my little Pinto, how much mileage I was getting, how I could make it back and all that. How much I was making by going to these meetings every night of the week. I mean, hey, the guy must be rolling in dough. You know how these evangelists are. Huh? Right? And they sent me a check for $100. To them, it was like, hey, you know what I mean? But see, the Holy Spirit did it. It's got to be the workings of the Holy Ghost. Preacher, listen now. And here is Paul with blistered hands and a humble heart, and he went behind the pulpit, but with a message. One from a day of being with people. They heard their own conversations mixed with the Word. You're going to hear that from me, and people complain about it once in a while. Oh, you're going to get us tomorrow now, because I wish I wouldn't have said that. It's going to be in the message, of course. I'm so busy sewing tents and doing things and working, I have to get my message as I go. Right? Do you know who else used this method? The very one that Paul used? Who else? Jesus Christ. Everyday examples. Those everyday examples were of what people had said to him as they were walking and talking, and he was learning of people. He came down here to be like man. And he wasn't above learning. And so he learned from everybody, from children, from old people and young people and whatever. Whew. From hobos. Highbows and lowbows. But Paul was no great orator. No, his purpose was to see that souls were saved, and in doing so, he gave glory to God. And let us go after, as part of this all humility, leading people to Jesus. Also, there is a humility during the act. That is when a man finds that God is with him. All preachers, we find sometimes, I know God's with me in this thing. God's with me, we're on the move, me and Jesus, woo-hoo! He may be base enough to glorify himself. He may have been humble indeed when he began the battle. Aren't you humble when you go to get into service? I remember we had to go to the courthouse and they stripped us all down. Now that's humble. I don't know about nowadays, but 35 or 40 years ago, they stripped you down at the courthouse and you were just standing there. And all these great big guys, and I was only 17, I looked like toothpick. Male Twiggy. Twug. Okay? And there I am standing. Well, I was humble enough then, wasn't I? Oh, and then when we went and they got our hair all shaved off, oh, that humbled me. Wouldn't bother me now. Then I did. They shaved all my hair. I mean, they shaved it off. Didn't have none. You're all the same, don't you see? You know, if you're really listening today, you're on the radio tape, you learn something off of this. And don't get hung up with me. God, I'm just God's servant. I'm just down here doing what God's told me to do. I really am. To the best that I know. And see, you on a tape or radio, if you don't receive this, well, hey, you're not receiving God a lot of times when you don't receive a brother. Isn't that right? I just felt that coming off the radio. Didn't you feel that? I did. Maybe somebody in here will be listening to this radio message. I don't know, so it could involve you too. Do you see what I'm saying? When we start out, and they shaved my head, thank you, Holy Ghost. And they shaved my head, and I was humbled in, and they walked along and gave me these clothes. What size do you wear? The hair. Put on these great big long clothes, and it was hanging over my fingers. I didn't fill up the pants. I looked like the hungry wolf with a rope on. Well, that's humble. But after that, I got it down. I wasn't humble anymore. I started to wise up. Don't we do that as Christians? We start in the battle. We're humble enough. We just get saved. We're humble. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for delivering me. And pretty soon, thanks. Just a little bit of quick thanks now. Thanks. You got time to pray all day. Got to be doing things. No, we're not humble anymore. And we sort of get kind of mean. We sort of kind of get kind of critical people. But if you think back when you first got, this is the army, Mr. Jones, when you first got in God's army, no private room for telephones. You had your breakfast in bed before, but you won't have it here anymore. Then we were humble. But now, we're not humble, and we start to get mean. We start to get prideful. We start to look at two of the three of the enemies that are laying down there. We've got our foot on the enemy's head. There's two or three laying around. The enemy is the devil, you know what I mean? And his demons laying around. And then the evil one comes up and whispers in our ear, boy, are you doing great. And pride comes in and spoils it all. All them old slain enemies, get up. Well, you're prancing around. Boy, you're doing great. I know. I am doing great, aren't I? I can't understand it myself, but... Huh? And all of a sudden, them enemies get up and raise up. The same old thing again. Same old spirits. But see, when we're going through this, it's flare your nostrils time. You ever seen somebody, when they get prideful, they flare their nostrils? The haughty look. You know, I can't flare them today. Is something wrong here? Huh? Do you ever see a person when they flare their nostrils? They lose all humility. I'm not going to listen. Don't have to listen. Not going to listen. Not to listen. Now, kids do that too, don't they? Who says? Huh? What do you know? Huh? Says you. Huh? You kids listening on the radio, does mommy make you listen? All for that splendid psalm that begins, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. And I thought, here, David thought it so needful that he mentions it twice. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. And then he goes ahead and he deals a death blow on the whole thing with the next sentence and the other sentence. But unto thy name be all the glory. Whew. He hesitates. The psalmist hesitates, and there's a rhythm to what he's saying. And then there's a hesitation like in music. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. And then he waits. He shocked everybody because they're all up in themselves and their nostrils are all flared. Huh? But unto thy name be all the glory. Don't want to sing that song when you're jumping on your foes. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be all the glory. To sing that song when you're reaping the great harvest. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be all the glory. To sing that song when God's people are fed under our ministry and your ministry. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thee belong all the honor and all the glory, O Lord. And to go ahead and sing this when you're going from strength to strength. Isn't that great when you have those days when you have a chain link of strength and you're going from strength to strength to strength? I can do all things well through Christ who strengthens me day by day. And you got a chain. And that's the time to cry out, not unto to us, O Lord, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thee, O Lord, be all the glory. And so from victory to victory will prove a heavenly state of heart, let's say. When everything is going right and we give all the glory to God. When we stop and we give thanks and we give praise and we give honor and we give glory and we say, oh God, I remember my beginnings. I remember standing in that line with my head all bald. I'm talking spiritually now. Waiting in that line, embarrassed, naked before men, going down in there and getting my uniform, Lord, being called a doggy. That's what they call them. I don't know if they call them that now. Hey, doggy! But I believe nothing but the most extraordinary grace can keep us in our right position while we are serving God and God is honoring us. It's only God's grace that can keep us in the right place. We are so inclined to take the jewels off of the crown and wrap them around our own necks. For we look longingly at them. Or like I read where Henry IV, who when his father slept, would put on his father's crown. Haven't we all done the same? Haven't we forgotten God? Don't we do it all the time? We said when he sleeps, we began to crown up. God sleeps, so we crown up. God's sleeping, so we put God's crown on for a while. How many know God never slumbers and he doesn't sleep? Neither does he slumber, it says. Are you standing today, you listening on the radio or to this tape, with that heavy crown of glory on your head? You can't hold it up. You know what happens when we do that? We anger God and grieve our spirits. Our own spirits are grieved. Humility after the service is done. When looking back on past victories, and even those that looked like they were defeats, and God made them victories by his wonderful workings of his Holy Ghost, and we say, not bad, not bad. You've proven yourself again, old guy. Victories all the time are coming your way. You got it, you got it. Now, I'm not saying you can't say well done to a brother or sister. But don't you be lifting up yourself, or I'll tell you right now, God's got his ways. Know how we need to hide ourselves and lift up Jesus. Lift him up. Lift him up. Lift him up. Lift him higher. Lift him higher than you ever have before. Sometimes we only lift him so high. Here he is, and we lift him just so high, about that high, so he can still peek over the top. And we make it like a baby Jesus. Here he is, stand right here. Lift him higher. Lift him way up over your head. Way, way, way over yourself. When I and I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. We must labor then for the church's sake, for our own sake, to serve the Lord with all humility. Humility before the act, humility during the service, and humility when all is done, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, past, present, and future. Now, secondly, the trials of humility are the dangers through which it was or has to pass. I believe the biggest trial to which humility is exposed is possession of great ability. When you really get something down. Are you hearing this? When a man has 7 talents, listen now, he must also realize he has 7 burdens. And if he has 10 times as many as the next man, he must be all the more bowed down. Let a man feel that he possesses more imagination, more eloquence, more mental powers, more learning, and he's apt to, you know what? Sit down and say, boy, are you something. Huh? That's why you have to be so careful of a little bit of flattery. You know why? It flattens you. Flattery. You'll be flattery on your back. Sometimes somebody can just get, oh, how did you know that? I mean, it was so obvious, anybody would know it. And you know, the devil does that on people. How did you know that discernment? This is of God. Hey, recognize those things. And so pretty soon we think we are the person of God. You know what I mean? And we start to exalt ourselves. And what happens? Well, you all know what happens. Boy, am I something. What would the church even do without me? I can hardly bear to think about it. God. Oh, they do. They would do very well. Very well indeed. Right? And I say, we can elevate, we can lift one another up and say, well, for instance, brother here, you did this beautiful artwork. And I, you know, I'm telling you this, I'm just saying, brother, I'm just grateful for the beautiful work that God is using you to do on your artwork. Isn't that wonderful? Or Rick, or Brian, huh? Or Dove, or any of the people that work in here. But we have to learn that to give all the glory to God. And we have to learn to lift Him up, yes, even higher. When we're elevated, that means we have to lift God higher, doesn't it? Well, you were down there, so you only had to take Jesus this high. But now if you just take Him this high now, you're still in the forefront. You got to lift Him higher. Keep going. And as you go up, you keep lifting Jesus up higher than what you are. Or nothing will happen. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And I thought to myself then, anyway, how ridiculous to boast of any of our talents. God has given us all of our talents. So how then can we boast? We got them all from God, and God can take them away too. It's like, I think, a man in jail boasting. They used to do this in jail. What are you in for? Well, a $1 million robbery. What are you in for? $50? I robbed a grocery store. They had $50. Huh. Only $50? I'm in debt more than you are. I'm in debt for $1 million. See, the more we have, the more we owe. The more God has given you, the more you owe God. And the deeper you get in the Word, and the more discernment you have, and the more God graces you with messages, preachers, listen, the more that you are held accountable. And so sometimes, when the Spirit is leaning upon you, you will have to look a little bit ignorant and have to humble yourself so as not to fall into a snare or to a trap. How many heard that one? There are all kinds of snares out there. But I believe that dove is just about ready to get moving. Why? Because it just kept humble. It just kept playing. It kept... When they didn't, we found out what happens. When I didn't, we found out what... We know all of us, don't we? But if we humble ourselves before God, what does the Bible say? He will exalt. Ooh, we're more accountable. When we become a ministry that God has chosen to be then an example, and be an example, then God has said, well, you're more accountable now. You're going to have to go on by the grace of God and grow in what I've given you here so that I get all the glory. So that even here on this poor north side, supposedly poor, that there will be a ministry that will be able to meet the needs. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Whoa, hallelujah! And then I will get the glory. Anyway, who made you? We're all debtors. Who made your lips and who made your mouth? Who made your ears and who made your feet? They're all talents. Ask God what He wants you to use them for. I'm yours, Lord. Isn't there a song like that? All that I own. Great talents make it hard, I believe, for a man to maintain humility. Now, there's people that wouldn't even come down to the north side. Heaven forbid. They think people should be grateful, they think, to just be in my midst. I'm blessed. And you ask him, well, how are you, brother? I'm blessed. I wonder about that when somebody comes on like that and their nostrils flare. When they see it, they flare their nostrils. Did you ever notice that? The I am blessed group? How are you? I'm blessed. Just like a horse before he gets ready to rip. But then again, the little talent man. The little talent man can say this. I've only got one ring. Boy, I'll have to make sure I show this one off. So he shines up his one little ring, see? Company's coming. Now I'll have to make sure I gesture with his hand because I only got one ring, see? This is the way it is. I believe it's over that way. You know what I mean? That way. Look at me when I'm talking to you. That way. So having a little doesn't make you less prideful, does it? I'm going to hear in his message today. He makes sure that his gold is exposed. If he doesn't have gold in his pocket, then he'll wear gold cufflinks. Right? And let me tell you, your pride can even walk around in rags. Even the hobos have a king. Don't they? Who are you, sir? I am the king of the hobos. So we can be prideful in that, can't we? Then who are you? I'm Hell's Angels. Skeleton on the back and dagger with blood dripping down. And we can be proud of that. So see, pride gets in on everything, doesn't it? Doesn't it? You can't put it on one person or the banker or the lawyer. Pride is all over. It attacks all life forms. And then we can be proud because we're suffering. Oh, we've suffered long and hard. You think you've suffered? You ain't seen suffering till you see our kind of suffering. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. And I ain't going to sing that one, but I could. Oh. And then again, success is like a full cup. It's hard to hold steady. When the cup is way full, or the cup is a great big cup and you have it and it's hard to hold steady, isn't it? And just, it's pretty heavy. This is a heavy trip. It's going to take the grace of God to hold this thing up. Well, it's a little bit emptier and there's not as much talents and it's easier. You can just kind of float around high. But when it's full, and especially if you're prideful, you don't want to spill any, see, of your own glory. Make this work, they're all watching me. God has given me this full message today, and I must not spill one drop. You know what? You're going to slop it all over your shoes and all over your pants, preacher, and it's just, you're going to be a mess. You're not giving God the glory, don't you see? No, so preacher, be just a little bit careful. If you have a little success, not to call others names who have a lot, and use people that have a lot, don't measure other people that don't have as much. You know what that is? That's like two dunghills. One little dunghill and one big dunghill. They both stink the same. Also, there is a pleasure. Oh, this is wonderful. It's a pleasure, and it's the enjoyment of the Master's presence. It has a tendency to make us proud. Isn't that awful? Sometimes you'll be in your office and you'll feel the presence of God all over. Ooh. So wonderful. Oh, listen, preacher, don't walk all day in the sunlight. You might get a sunstroke. Better not sit too near the fire or you'll get scorched. Because if we have nothing but full assurance, we may come to presumptuous living. Because I believe long-continued joys should make you tremble for all the goodness of God. When you have a continual joy, tremble and say, Lord, your goodness is so wonderful. But on the other hand, long-continued doubts breed pride. And a person asks me, what do you mean by that? That's when a man has long been doubting God and mistrusting all of his promises. What is that but pride? He wants to be something, and he wants to be somebody. In short, we must know we can do nothing without Jesus Christ, large or small. I believe it's dangerous. I believe it's just as dangerous if you're one rung up the ladder as if you're up 50. And think of it this way, people. It won't be too long. You know what's going to be happening? You're going to be a skeleton. How many are hearing this? It won't be too long. And what you're seeing right here, right now, will just be a skeleton. It's going to happen. Now that'll make you humble. Right? What you're seeing right here and what you're looking at in the audience here is just going to be skeletons. Won't that make you humble? You're not going to live forever. Oh, people hate that. It's going to happen, isn't it? Ooh, that'll keep you humble, won't it? All of our works and all of our messages and all of our lives are nothing but skeleton until God puts meat upon them, like it says in Ezekiel, and blows His Holy Spirit upon them. They are nothing. Look at Jesus. He ate and He drank with the publicans and the sinners. And it says He made Himself of no reputation. God. And He took upon Himself the form of a servant, and being fashioned as a man, He became obedient unto death, even to death upon the cross. What a strange sight. God on a cross. That should help us to be humble and to never be proud again. God. God, the creator of everything, died upon a cross. Let's put on Jesus Christ. True humility today. I got about 2 minutes left in this message. One day a lady came and she said, Preacher, I'm praying that you will be kept humble. But I said, Lady, you should not pray for me only, but pray for yourself also. No, but you don't understand. She says, I don't have those tendencies. Well, I said, by that, I know that you do. Because we never so much in danger of being proud as when we think we are humble. Some even fight over who's the most humble. As we enter into more and more works of God, let us shut not shut pride's door in Christ's face. Let us humble ourselves before our God. Remember, either you humble yourselves before God or you will be humbled. And don't be too proud to duck at the doorways. Why walk around with those pride bumps all over your forehead? In closing here, be kind and affectionate towards all men, and Lord, help us. Oh, Lord, help us to be humble. Help us to run that race, Lord, in all humility. Lord, put your spirit upon these old bones and put meat in the message and meat in the ministry and meat in our works, and your spirit blow upon them and give them life. Lord, help us to be humble that we can receive your majestic workings, O Lord, that you may give us substance, that you may give us hope and love and grace to continue in this great race for life. Hallelujah. Now, is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Even pride can keep people from getting saved. Did you know that? Oh, I've always known God. My grandma was a great prayer person. What's that got to do with you? Nothing. She was praying that you'd say yes to Jesus. Anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Maybe you're listening on the tape or to the radio. And maybe the message spoke to you that you got a lot of pride. We all fight that all the time, of course. Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? You can just, it takes 30 seconds to pray your way in. This takes a little bit of time. Are you born again, honey? Okay. Oh, hi. Hi, you people here. Hi. Are you both born again? Are you born again?
Well, I don't know. You asked me that before.
Jesus. Okay, well, let's answer it right now. Pray with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And baptize me in God's Holy Spirit. And Lord, give me a new language to praise your holy name. Praise God, I am saved. And nothing can change that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So glad you came today. Thank you. Anyone in here else doesn't know for sure? Are you born again, dear? Okay. How about you, son? Are you born again? Don't know? Well, we're going to go pray with you and make sure. Did I lead you to the Lord when you were here the other day? Downstairs? Did I? Yeah, I thought I did. Just checking. Are you born again, young man?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's pray with you. Want to pray too, Mom? Mm-hmm. Okay, grab my hand here. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Give me that new language. Amen. Amen. Felt that, didn't you? Ooh, hallelujah. So glad you came today. Little sweet little guy there. What's your name, honey?
Patrick.
What do they call you for short? Pat? Yeah. That's great. Let's hear it for those people. Isn't that great? Wow.